In today's gospel, Jesus continues his training of the apostles before he sends them out on their missionary work. And he emphasizes two things in today's gospel. You know, the first is that this mission is going to cost them their lives. For all of the apostles, except for Judas Iscariot, who betrayed our Lord, and the apostle John, all of the rest of them would be martyred. And he tells them that they have to love him more even than their lives, their own lives. And so he wants his disciples to have a love that's so deep that we love him above all things. And that's the love he was calling his apostles to as they were preparing for their missionary work. And the second thing he talks about is the reward for those who provide hospitality to the apostles. He says they will surely not lose their reward. I'm sure Father Lindell, if he were here this morning, wouldn't miss the opportunity to fish for some dinner invitations. You know, invite a priest over, your reward will be great in heaven. But you know, just make sure if you do that, give them cold water, because it's only if you give a cup of cold water that you get the reward. You don't want to lose that on that technicality. So, I had someone last night after Mass who was in a hurry to give me cold water so they could make sure they got the reward before someone else did. But if we look at what Jesus is saying to the apostles, it's actually fairly profound. He says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." And so the apostles didn't go on these missions by their own authority. They didn't say one day, "Oh, well, I think I'm going to go start preaching now." They were commissioned and sent by Jesus Christ under his authority. And so when people receive them, they're receiving Jesus Christ because they're sent by his authority. They're his agents that he's sending out. And if we receive Jesus Christ, then we receive our Heavenly Father who sent him. And so the authority that Jesus gave to the apostles continues through the bishops, the priests, and the religious today. You know, that authority has been handed on from generation to generation through the Catholic Church. And so the Catholic Church, unique to all different religions, has the authority from Jesus Christ to be preaching the gospel. And there's special blessings that come upon a household when they open the doors to a minister of Christ. You know, our Lord promises, you know, to pour out special blessings upon them. And so there's special graces when a family does that, or also when they open their doors to those who are sick or those who are in poor. If there's people who are struggling in need, you know, around us, and a family opens their doors to them, there's incredible graces that come from that. You know, I think, you know, often there's a temptation for families to focus on themselves, to focus upon their own finances, their own educations, their own sports, to, you know, to be focused upon what they're doing. But there's a sense, there's a level of emptiness in that. You know, having a higher purpose within our families elevates family life and opens us up to the grace of God to be poured out into our families and for our families to be richer as they share that life with others. You know, our families become channels of the love of God as they dedicate themselves to a higher purpose. So I encourage each one of us to think about that within our own families. You know, whether we have a large family or a small family, or even if we live by ourselves, you know, are we opening up our household to the grace of God and to a higher purpose? You know, there's so many dark forces that are attacking the institution of the family. You know, they're especially targeting children. And it seems like our federal government now and so many of the things that they do are trying to undermine family life. When families are the building block of society and the building block of the church. You know, strong families are essential, you know, for the fulfillment of individuals and for society. Because, you know, if our families are broken, so often children are going to be broken and they're going to grow up to be broken men and women. And so the health of our families is so essential for the health of society and for the health of the church. And so I want to reflect upon a few practical steps that we can take to strengthen our families. What can we do in the midst of a society where family life is so often crumbling? You know, what can we do to have strong and vibrant families? Because our faith is essential to that. I could come up with a very long list, and I could keep you here for quite a while talking about all the different things that we could do to build strong families. But a few things I want to highlight. First, Christ has to be the center of our families. As Jesus says in the gospel, we have to love him more than we love even our lives. We have to love him above all things. And so the question is, does that play out practically in the way that our families are living out their lives? Do we have a vibrant life of prayer within each one of our households? Is that central to the very life of our families? And the devotion to the Eucharist and to the Holy Mass, is that primary? Not just that we come to Mass, but that we honor our Lord as being the summit and the high point of everything that we do as a family. That there is nothing greater that we could do as a family than come and kneel down together and give worship and adoration to God. Is that truly how we're living? Go to confession as a family, frequently. You know, the church recommends monthly. I'm sure spouses, parents, siblings, we know each other's sins. You know, we deal with that all the time. You know, we know that none of our families are perfect. There's vices and sin that goes on within all of our families. And we see that most clearly with the people that we're around the most. And so, you know, if we wanted to, we could probably make lists of each other's sins. We could probably help each other with an examination of conscience. That might not be a good idea practically. I don't know how that'd go. But do we want those sins and vices to fester within our family life? Do we want those to just stay there and get worse? Or do we want to go to confession where we repent of those, we receive forgiveness, and the grace of inner transformation? There's so many different vices that we struggle with and so many difficulties that are within our families that if we went to confession, that would help to alleviate that. You know, confession has a powerful way of helping us to form our conscience and build the desire to overcome that sin. And think about how important that is in our family life. If all of the members of our family were really striving for that holiness and that level of purity, and that comes when we're committed to the sacrament of confession. So I would encourage our families to go to confession frequently. Obedience to God's laws, especially in preparation for marriage, because the things that we do in preparation for marriage are very often what we carry into the marriage itself. And so for our young people, don't cohabit before marriage. A man and a woman should never live together before marriage. It's so common in our culture today. But if we're disobedient to God's laws in the time of formation, preparing for marriage, we'll carry that disobedience into the family life. Whereas if we make the commitment to be obedient to God's laws before marriage, that's going to give us a great foundation for continuing that within our marriage. And what greater thing to bring into our families than that obedience to God's laws? And always get married within the church. If either the husband or the wife or both are Catholic, in order to have a valid marriage, that marriage needs to be done within the church. So if people get married outside the church and either one of them are Catholic, that's not a valid marriage. And marriage is a sacrament. It's a union that's created by God. And so it's proper and fitting that those marriages happen within the church. And so always get married within the church. That obedience to God's laws is exactly what we want to carry into our family life. That's going to help our families to flourish, because our families need to be focused on something higher than themselves. You know, obedience to God's laws helps to elevate our family life and to bring graces in there that are unimaginable. And also within our families, show kindness. You know, be kind to each other and to those in need. You know, if we're truly living out our faith, that should manifest it in the kindness that we show to others. And so as we reflect upon today's readings, I encourage each one of us to reflect upon our own households. Whether we're living alone or in a small or a large family, whatever the situation is, what can we do to allow the grace of God to flow through our families and to make our family and our home life a channel for the love and the goodness of God? You know, that is powerful when we allow that grace to flow through, and that will transform our families and fill the church with a new vibrancy.